Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll dive into Dennis Smith Jr.'s Summer League magic and just what he could bring to the Mavs this upcoming season. But right now, ESPN.com college football writer Jake Trotter joins us. Jake, we appreciate your time tonight, man.
Yeah, no problem. I'm excited about the Dennis Smith era in Dallas as well.
Well, I was going to ask you, first of all, I was going to save this for the end, but I guess I'll ask it now. How legitimate is the excitement for Paul George in Oklahoma City?
It's crazy. It's been just sort of a surreal, 365 days in OKC. Kevin Durant, we were at a, 4th of July parade last year when the Players Tribune tweet came out, and it was like spontaneously the parade just ended. It was like everybody just kind of went home. And I remember, I was going home Friday a couple weeks ago, and I was with a, on a text chain with a bunch of people. And one guy said, Paul George to OKC for Sabonis and Oladipo. And I said, I would do that in a second if they could pull that off. And he goes, no, that was an actual trade. So I was in disbelief. But obviously, it's exciting for Oklahoma City. And, I mean, listen, nobody is on Golden State's level. But, in the next year down, the Thunder, in my opinion, are right there along with, Houston, San Antonio, and even Cleveland.
Yeah, certainly will be interesting to see how Russell Westbrook and Paul George can mesh together. But getting back to some college football stuff, going to dive right into this. Oklahoma has been voted by the media. They're the Vegas has them as their favorites, clear favorites to win the conference. They lose Bob Stoops, plug in Lincoln Riley. They got to replace their top two backs and Samaje Perine, Joe Mixon. You lose Dede Westbrook. Is Oklahoma maybe getting a little too much credit as the clear, obvious favorite going into this season?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, listen, this is not a perfect team on paper going into the season. You mentioned the holes they have at running back and receiver. Defensively, they've got some work to do as well off a team that gave up a bunch of points, through half the year in 2016. But they've got Baker Mayfield in quarterback. At quarterback, he's won 27 career games. That's more than anybody in college football at the quarterback position. And with arguably the best offensive line in the country, protecting him and paving lanes for the running game. It's just hard, even though, maybe in a vacuum, Oklahoma State is more talented in some spots. And it's just hard to pick against Oklahoma, especially the way that they have, dominated the conference these last 2 years, including Oklahoma State. I was in Norman last year for that game, and I kind of thought Oklahoma State had a really good chance to win. And instead, again, Oklahoma dominated the Cowboys and, won a Big 12 title again. So until somebody beats them in a game that matters, I find it very difficult to pick against Oklahoma.
Hey, Jake, this is Clarence Hill, Star Telegram. I'm here tonight. I appreciate you coming on. And you brought up Oklahoma State, and certainly I think Bob Stoops had some mojo over Oklahoma State. You think that the new coach can carry that mojo? And why did Bob leave? Have you really got your hands around why Bob stepped down at this time? It's one thing if he'd have stepped down after the year, announced that this was my last year, but to do it immediately, that's still, the head scratcher to me.
Yeah, I talked to Bob for a while last week, I think last Friday, half an hour, 45 minutes. And, based on everybody that I've talked to, including Bob, I mean, there's no smoking gun. It's not like some health issue that nobody knows about. There's not some kind of scandal. It really basically was him just saying, I think I'm ready to do something else. His father was a high school coach in Youngstown, Ohio, died from a heart attack on the sidelines at the age of 54. And I think Bob being 56, he kind of signaled, even 6-7 years ago that he was not going to be a guy that was necessarily going to coach into his 60s or 70s. The way that you see a lot of these guys do. So,
I don't mean to cut you off. The timing just seems odd. The timing just seems odd for that, even though I can understand wanting to do it. Just the timing was odd.
I asked him about that, and he said, you go to, you have the season, then you go to the bowl game, then you go straight to recruiting, then the signing day, then spring ball, and you don't really have time to reflect much because you're just at it day to day. And I think, once the spring game ended in April and he had, a couple months there to really think about the way that he felt, I think that gave him, the time to kind of work through the decision. That was sort of the explanation that that he gave me. And also, too, you know, if Lincoln Riley's not there, maybe he doesn't retire when he does. But he felt comfortable with, you know, the torch being passed to Riley. They, you know, 2 years ago even, I'd heard that, hey, if Oklahoma, you know, as long as he stays there, you know, that's going to be the next head coach at Oklahoma. So I think all those factors contributed to it. Yeah, it's odd that a Stoops would say, you know, when you've been there 18 years, when is a good time to announce you're going to retire? I don't know that. I think that's a decent point. You know, if he'd have done it at the end of the season, that has still been kind of weird, too. So, yeah, no doubt it was a stunner, and the timing obviously was very different than the way we see a lot of head coaches announce their retirement. But, you know, whenever he was going to do it, it was going to be surprising, I think.
Talking with Jake Trotter of ESPN.com. So Oklahoma plugs in Lincoln Riley. Texas is also going in a new direction. Tom Herman to take over there. They've kind of been a trendy sleeper. I know Vegas has them as their third favorite. I think that the medium has them getting fourth in the conference. What is a realistic expectation down in Austin for Herman's first season?
Yeah, I voted them fifth in my preseason Big 12 ballot, but I think anywhere from 4 to 6. Was reasonable for them. You know, you look at the history of the Big 12, and, you know, who are the teams that win Big 12 titles? The teams that have elite quarterbacks that are Heisman finalists, you know, first-round draft picks, consensus All-Americans. Traditionally, those are the guys that usually win Big 12 titles, and, I mean, I don't think Texas necessarily has that guy yet. We'll see what happens with Shane Buechele. They were really impressed with what he showed in the spring, but he also faded a bunch down the stretch. Last year as well. They got a very difficult, you know, first part of the schedule. They got to go to USC. They have a Thursday night tilt at Iowa State there in their conference opener. And then they play, you know, Kansas State, Oklahoma, and Oklahoma State, the top three teams in the conference back to back to back. So, I mean, if they don't come out of the gate playing really well, you know, things could get a little bit ugly for them there. But there's no doubt there's a ton of talent on that roster on both sides of the ball. You know, if Buechele can take a step forward, then I don't think 8-4, you know, 9-3 is inconceivable, even in spite of how difficult the first part of the schedule is. If they can survive early on, you know, that's a team that could be really scary down the stretch.
I got two questions on Texas for you. Shane Buechele supposedly was a star at the demanding passing camp. Do you put any stock in that, and what does that mean going forward? And is there a disconnect with Malik Jefferson and the coaching staff? It's a surprise that Malik Jefferson, been the face of the program, is not a media day.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting as well. You know, he was the preseason defense player of the year last year, and then, you know, we get to November and he's losing his starting job. So, I mean, he is a really interesting player, and I think he has a lot to prove. You know, there's no question he's really talented. And, you know, I think with the scheme change defensively, you know, that might help him move into the outside and kind of relying on his, you know, playmaking instincts a little bit more. I mean, I think everything that Buechele does this offseason is a positive. You know, he had a really dominant performance in the spring game and, you know, goes to the academy and does really well there as well. That being said, I mean, I think we're going to find out when they go to L.A., you know, where this program is. I mean, they don't have to go there and win, in my opinion. But I think it would be a really bad sign if they went out there and got beat like 45-10. You know, I think they need to hang in there, you know, and make it a fourth quarter game. And I think if they do that, that's a really good sign for the rest of the season. But they're not going to be able to do that unless Buechele, you know, plays at the level he did in that opener against Notre Dame last season.
Talking with Jay Trotter of ESPN.com, TCU flying a bit under the radar, which I think is, we can all agree, is what Gary Patterson likes. If Kenny Hill can somehow figure things out in his last go-around, is this a team that could maybe make a run at the Big 12?
Yeah, no question. I mean, you look at the rest of their roster, I mean, they're in pretty good shape. Really good skill position players, their offensive line, very experienced. You know, defensively, Gary Patterson, have those guys ready to play. I like their secondary, especially the corner position, and they've got the best linebacking tandem in the Big 12 with Ty Summers and Traven Howard. It all comes down to Kenny Hill. You know, he led the Big 12 in interceptions thrown last year. You know, took way too many unnecessary sacks. He's got to be consistent, and it kind of gets back to what I was saying about Texas. You know, if you don't have great quarterback play, you know, it's really hard to contend in the Big 12. So I think it's all going to hinge on Kenny Hill. And, you know, I was down in Fort Worth in the spring, and You know, one of the things Patterson said was, you know, they've got to do a better job supporting him, both from a play-calling perspective and from the receiver position. You know, they've got to have some of their receivers, you know, make plays that they didn't make last year, and they've got to have, I think, a better, you know, plan for him and make him comfortable. And I think the word that they used was swagger. If Kenny Hill gets his swagger back, then that's a very dangerous team. But I'm a little bit skeptical because, you know, all I had to go off is what I saw last year. And, you know, you're looking at the most inconsistent quarterback in the Big 12 last season.
Going back to the favor for the Big 12, and you talked about top-level quarterback play. You talked about explosive players, you know, at the receiver position, at the running back position. No one has that more than Oklahoma State. Does Mike Gundy not get the credit that he deserves? And I know he hasn't beaten Oklahoma, but if you look at the recruiting, and I follow recruiting a lot, they never get the recruits that Oklahoma and Texas does, yet they're consistently at the top, consistently competing, and he may have his best chance, certainly the best team he's had in a while, coming in this year.
Yeah, it's a huge year for them. And you mentioned, you know, with the coaching change at Oklahoma, you know, that might help Oklahoma State. I think another thing that could help them is Bedlam is no longer the last game of the season. It got moved up to November 4th. And I don't know, maybe that'll help Oklahoma State play better. You know, you go back to the late, you know, like 2008, 2009, 2010. You know, Oklahoma was a better team. They had better players than Oklahoma State. But even if Oklahoma won the game, you kind of came away thinking, man, Oklahoma State played really well. You know, they get a break here and there. And they could have pulled off the upset. You know, three out of the last 4 years, where a Big 12 title has been on the line in Bedlam, you've come away like Oklahoma State just didn't play very well in that game. So, you know, maybe the coaching change, maybe the game getting moved, you know, maybe the game being in Stillwater, back in Stillwater this season, that'll help. That's really the last, kind of the last hurdle for Mike Gundy. I mean, if you're evaluating coaches in college football, I mean, he's up there. The real knock is that they haven't had much success against Oklahoma when it's counted, and he's got a prime opportunity to deliver a big win this year. And oh, by the way, if they beat Oklahoma, I mean, that's a team to really watch in the playoff picture.
Jake Trotter, ESPN.com, college football writer, joining us on game night. I want to ask you about the state of the conference as a whole. What can the Big 12 do to close the gap between the other Power 5 conferences? Is it a matter of Texas and Oklahoma both being really good again at the same time? Is that kind of the first thing you look at for that to happen?
Yeah, and to win a national championship. You know, it's been 12 years since the Big 12 has won a title. It's been, you know, since 2009 that they played for one when Texas lost to Alabama. So, I mean, I kind of use the comparison to the Big Ten and Ohio State. You know, 5 years ago, people were talking about the Big Ten being, you know, too slow to compete with the Southern powers. And, you know, their offenses were too archaic to really, you know, compete at the highest level. And then Ohio State beats Alabama and wins the national championship. And nobody talks about the Big Ten that way. And no doubt the Big 12 has real challenges off the field financially, you know, the size of the conference, you know, after two rounds of realignment. But, you know, if Oklahoma or Texas or whoever wins the national championship this year or soon, that's going to go a long way to improving the perception of the Big 12. And then you start getting better recruits and keeping the elite recruits in your footprint. And then with better raw talent, you start putting out more players again in the NFL draft. I mean, to me, a lot of this gets resolved if somebody out of the Big 12 wins a national championship. And, you know, first you got to get to the playoff.
Does the addition of the conference championship game help? Because the Big 12 was told after the first year of the playoff system that they needed the 13th data point. And then it got a little murky last year with what happened in the Big 10. Do you expect that to be beneficial to the conference or not so much?
Yeah, if the regular season champ wins, it will be. If not, it won't be. I mean, you got to give the Big 12 credit for, you know, forging the most difficult path to a conference title that they could. And it's the only conference that's going to guarantee if top two regular season teams meet again in the championship game. You know, sometimes with divisions, you'll have, like we've seen in the SEC a bunch and recently the Big Ten, where, you know, one division is stacked and the other is not. So the Big 12 is going to have an advantage then. They're going to have that 13th game that the committee has referenced in the past. They're going to have a major presence again on championship weekend, which at times they haven't had. But if the regular season champ, the 11-1 regular season champ, loses, then it's not going to be an advantage for the Big 12. So it's a big risk, and I'm, like everybody else, curious to see how it plays out.
Well, the Big 12 meetings are coming up this week, and they're at a new location, the Ford Center. You know, Jerry Jones is a master seller. How did he get the Big 12 to go to the Ford Center for the Big 12 meetings? Are you excited about seeing that brand new facility out there?
Yeah, I've never been there before. I'm intrigued to check it out. And listen, you got to do something to drum up interest. I mean, the SEC does a fantastic job of, you know, turning their media days into an event. So this is the Big 12 trying to return the favor. And I just got used to the Omni, knowing where everything was. I'm going to have to relearn everything here in the coming years.
Jake, we really appreciate your time tonight. Look forward to seeing you Monday and Tuesday. Hopefully we'll cross paths there out at the Ford Center. And you can find him at Jake_Trotter. ESPN.com is where all his great stuff is. Thanks for joining us tonight, man.
Okay, thanks, fellas. Take care.